Thank the Lord we're able to be here tonight. We ask an interest in your prayers that the Lord will bless us here. We're going to talk about warning. We want to consider some things along the lines of warning tonight, or just the concept of a warning. Maybe we should put it that way too. Warnings. Yeah, some of you have seen. I think there's a road sign in the state of California that you may see like this. Something like that. It's a couple of squiggly lines, the yellow sign. And this is a black border around there. It's a couple of black lines in it. If you're a driver, I think that implies that it might be ice on the bridge or slippery condition. And sometimes you may have driven somewhere and you've seen a sign, ice on bridge or icy road or something like that. And you've maybe seen that type of a sign when you were driving and there was no ice in sight. Mm-hmm. It was a bright summer day, but the sign was left up there. And it's, whether or not it's 70 or 80, 90 degrees, it didn't matter. The sign was still there. The warning sign. Yellow signs like that are, I believe, are warning, or they're advisory. They indicate that you should be cautious. There's something to be cautious for there.
Amen.
So we see those signs sometimes. And we look around, and when it's warm conditions, we don't have any fear of ice. None at all. And so we just go right on down the road with not one little bit of caution going across that bridge or whatever. I don't know if we... sometimes, you know, we don't really appreciate warning signs.
Amen.
But they're there for a purpose.
Yes.
There's a reason for them being there. These type of diamond-shaped signs, they have a reason for being.
Yeah.
There's something about people that it seems like many times we don't like to get warnings. Mm-hmm. We just don't like the idea. There's something about a warning that kind of implies a threat to us, threat of some consequences if we don't do according to that sign, or if we don't take heed or something or other, or if we're not cautious or careful. That sign, you know, we just like to just say, oh yeah, I saw it, and go right on our way. And I'm thinking of sometimes a parent gives children warnings, and you try to give children warnings. When do you give them warnings?
After you see something.
You try to give them warnings before they get into something. When they get into it, anybody can see it then, so to speak. And children, you know, you try to warn them of something when they don't see it or when they are not in it. And you have a difficult time trying to get them to realize, you know what, you better be careful. But it's wise for a child to take warning before he gets into something.
Yeah.
because his parents see it ahead of him many times. Or you might say because of the parents' age or experience, maybe they don't see necessarily danger, or let's say they don't see the child actually being caught in it necessarily, but they perceive a possibility.
Yeah. Amen.
And so they just want the child, listen, just be careful. Watch, keep your eyes open. You'll see this kind of thing, you'll tell them that. Now, you see this. I've seen this, and I've seen that. And sometimes I think, you know, they don't really get it.
Amen.
Kind of like seeing that sign on a bright, shiny day. It doesn't register. I've driven across country, and I've driven in different driving conditions, and maybe many of you have also. When there's black ice on the road, if you are an experienced driver, you don't even have to see that sign.
That's right.
But some people don't know black ice when it's right in front of them.
Yeah.
I've experienced that too. Once I was driving and with somebody, and they didn't know it, and we were on this stuff, and they were merrily going along at 70 miles an hour, and I could feel the car kind of little bit of side to side movement, and you know what I told them? I said, you know what? Just back off a little bit, slowly. Don't hit the brakes. I want you to just carefully take your foot off the gas slowly and just let it kind of slide down, slow down, and just keep it in the road. And then when it gets slow enough, I'll take it. Yes. That person, they did not perceive the danger. But because I perceived the danger, it was, let's say, it wasn't necessarily alarming to me, but I could see, better watch it here.
Yeah.
Better be real careful, because you'll be off the road and in a ditch. All right, warnings. Some people just don't like, don't you tell me anything. There are some people like that. And it matters not whether it's possibly true or anything. They don't want to be told some things. Just, there are some people that have trouble with authority. You know that? And they just have trouble with it. And so if authority says one thing, they just seem like have a tendency to want to cast it aside, and I can handle it, and so forth. But, you know, we should be careful when we are given warnings.
Yeah.
We should take heed. We should be watchful.
Yeah.
We should realize that there are some things possibly that could happen that we might not see. You know, now that's a wise man. I don't have to understand it, but I got the warning.
Yeah.
Someone told me, watch out. So I get busy watching out.
Yeah.
Because somebody told me this, and I kind of believe that person. You know, we ought to believe when we get a warning. We ought to believe it, especially from the Lord.
Amen.
Warnings are things we have to be kind of have our ear tuned to warnings. You have to be tuned into those things. Warnings are dangerous. They're telling us of dangerous situations, things that can harm us, hurt us, possibly hurt others. It's a warning telling you there may be a disaster ahead. Slow up. Begin to look around, be circumspect, be extra cautious, be looking out for the unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, an accident is not something that's planned. It isn't something that's planned. So you be careful, because you're not planning it, but you be careful because you realize that you don't have to plan it.
Amen.
And so you start being careful because you just don't know.
Yeah.
You're cautious. We want to be cautious.
Yeah.
In God's people, we want to be cautious. A warning, when you perceive a danger, you know, there's a fear that goes with just running over that warning.
Yeah.
There's a certain amount of fear to that.
Yeah.
If you saw that sign in wintertime and it was icy and snowy, and you were riding down the road with someone and they were doing 65 miles an hour, you would probably be kind of scared.
Yeah.
That's my explanation of that emotion. You would probably want to tell them, why don't you slow up?
Uh-huh.
I think you ought to slow up. Because there's something in here that tells you, danger, 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 danger. Something's going on here.
Yeah.
And you look at the party and you begin to wonder if they have the capability of handling that.
Yeah.
That dangerous circumstance. And usually we don't have that much confidence in each other, so we kind of get anxious.
Yeah.
All right. God's people want to be careful.
Yeah.
You want to be careful. God's people
right
want
there.
To be careful. One of the things about the ministers in the Church of God is that God puts them in a place where they can usually be above the crowd. Usually. They're above the crowd. They're up higher in their discernment, or possibly in their vision. They're able to see danger sometimes afar off.
Yes. Right.
Before it's right here. It isn't here. Acknowledge. It's not there. But they can see it coming sometimes,
yeah.
Many times. And they don't say anything. But God put them up there. They can see it coming. And then, ever so often, God gives them an inspiration to give warning.
Yes.
Ever so often, you get a warning. A warning doesn't mean just go over it and ignore it. Don't do that. It's dangerous. There are spiritual things that sometimes people don't see.
Amen.
And if God opens the understanding of the minister and helps him to see something, and he gives warning concerning it, and he sees the spiritual danger, we ought to all take warning.
Yeah.
If we hear the warning, we ought to be careful. We ought to be cautious.
Yeah.
We don't just go over that real easy. You double check it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, I'm concerned that sometimes the warning given by the minister, seeing spiritual danger ahead, is dealt with by some very much like that sign is dealt with on a hot summer day. I don't see anything. Since I don't see it, it must not be a danger. And so therefore, you know, the implication kind of is like, you're just giving some kind of empty warning. Whatever. Go ahead. You know, attitude is, go ahead, do your thing. And when you get through, then I'll go ahead with what I feel is right. Be careful. be careful. We don't know what's happening sometimes.
Amen.
And sometimes spiritual problems can be entered into before people really understand it. And then it can come to a point where they don't understand it, but they're in it anyway.
Yeah.
They don't see any danger.
Amen.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Things can be very dangerous to us. So, you know, we want to be careful.
Amen.
Yes. We want to be careful. People that don't take warning is kind of like spiritual warning. You know, it's kind of like, I know how to get to heaven. I got this thing down. You get out of the way and I can make it in. I don't need your warning. That's almost what is possible to say.
Yeah.
We don't need it. So, you know, we know how to get there pretty well. And so we're on our way. So let's not be like that.
Amen.
I don't think that any of us here know the way to heaven. I don't think any of us have been there. And I believe that we need the Holy Spirit to get us there. And whatever He gives us to help us get there, we need that. There are a lot of things that maybe some people may think are harmless, but they are dangerous. Spiritual things, there are some things that, while not seemingly having a spiritual effect on the surface, they do have a spiritual effect in time, over in the course of time. But maybe instantly you don't notice anything at all. My mind kind of goes back to something that I heard, and I believe is true, that some people once upon a time, you notice in this church of God that we're in, we don't see people wearing neckties. And there were some people once upon a time that felt that necktie is just a small little thing, and that it doesn't, wearing a necktie doesn't make a person unsaved. And so the church, even the Church of God, as most of us know it here, has not taken that as a stand, that if you put a necktie on that you're unsaved necessarily.
Amen.
That doesn't make you unsaved.
Amen.
Pray for me. It doesn't make you unsaved, but it, over time, it had a great effect on those people.
Yeah.
A great spiritual effect on them.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help us here.
I found a refuge in every sorrow, joy everlasting and sweet. I see His word with all the sinful fallings conquered at my feet.
I'm going to ask you to wait and I'll be back.
Oh, blessed of my sins are gone. I lean on Jesus
growing red.
And while the storm wind crowded and raging, I now
could you offer every earthly treasure?
turn to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the 42nd verse. In the course of our lives, we're going to have a lot of warnings. And it would be well to appreciate every warning that you get. Appreciate it. Accept it. Realize that there's something behind it. And I believe that the love of God is behind warnings that come to us. God's love His efforts are to prevent us from getting into disaster.
Yes.
We want to take warning.
Yes. Amen.
There are things that, I'll say this before I get going here, that we can be involved in, and maybe we can say, well, we're all right, we're saved, and we're sanctified, or we're in the church, or whatever you want to call it, but we can be involved in some dangerous things spiritually. We want to stay with what's tried and proven.
Amen.
Don't get off in things that are not proven by the generations that have gone on before. Things have happened to others before us, and those things sometimes are written down that we might have warning today. When God has put something out before His people before, we ought to take warning for those things. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse says, "Let us therefore fear, lest our promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." There were some people that came short of the blessings of God. They didn't believe. They didn't accept His promises. We should be fearful. When God has said something, given us a promise, instructed us to trust Him and look to Him, we should be fearful to go over that. I mean fearful like shaking in your boots. Like, I want to go over it just like a little child, you know. You see that candy out there and you want to get some, you want it, but you're afraid to stick your hand out. Because you've been taught, leave it alone. Until you ask your father, your mother, leave it alone. So you don't stick your hand out there. You're concerned. You're fearful. That kind of a fear can be with us in the midst of temptation. And it can restrain us from doing things that that we shouldn't be doing because of the temptation that's upon us. We're not going to do it. We fear God. We see the temptation. We see maybe there are a number of other people doing it. Maybe a bunch of our peers are involved in whatever this thing may be. But we won't touch it.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm afraid. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I won't do it. Others may. I cannot.
Amen.
We should be able to stand on the convictions that God has given us. We should stand on those convictions. God gives you convictions to get you into heaven. That's why He gives them to you. And a conviction is something that you stand on. You put your soul on it. You don't take chances with your soul, see. Take warning. Every last warning that you get, you take it when it comes to your soul. My little Sunday school verse that I quote sometimes there in John, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life."
Yeah.
That was an inspiration from God to me.
Yeah.
Search it. Search it out. Dig it out.
Yeah.
Don't leave it to doubt. Don't leave it to question. Study it. Get a handle on it. Bring yourself into compliance and stay there. "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." You don't have eternal life in yourself.
Amen.
You really don't. Sometimes this is why it seems like people see the warning sign, but it seems like it's far removed from them.
Yeah.
But if you don't take warning, there are so many spiritual dangers that are besetting the church of God that people will wind up in real confusion. They're unclear on what God's Word teaches, just totally unclear. We have children that can go to school and study some pretty complicated subjects. And some of them can really get a handle on some of these subjects and concepts. We have children that can go to school and study about running a business. And when they get through and they get their MBA, they can go out and run a business.
Yeah.
They can show you how to do it. Actually, get out there and do it.
Amen.
I am positive that children like that, if they will yield their hearts to God, I am absolutely positive that they can study the Word of God and it won't be some big mystery to them. It won't be something that they're confused in and wishy-washy and don't know where to stand. But when they get a hold of this thing, if they're really studying it, God can get a hold of their hearts. He can get a hold of their minds. And we can have children that are established spiritually like on a rock.
Yes.
Amen.
Like on a rock. You won't move them.
Amen.
In time past, people got a hold of God just simply by means of getting on their knees and begging and crying out. And God talked to their hearts, and they came to an understanding of what God was wanting.
Amen.
And they stood on it for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And God bore it out over a whole lifetime. He bore it out.
Yeah.
Those are the generations that have gone on before. Those are the great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before.
Yeah.
May the Lord help us that we be real careful about moving off of what those old people got a hold to with God.
Yes,
yes, they were ignorant.
Yes.
Yes, you could debate them and make them shut up.
Yes.
They could not beat you in a debate, maybe.
Yes.
Oh, yes. You could beat them.
Yes.
I don't know as if you'd beat them getting to heaven, though.
No.
See? Because getting to heaven means there's a spiritual contact that they've got a hold to.
Yeah.
And I believe that God is no respecter of persons.
Yeah.
Just because we have ability to get education nowadays, it doesn't mean that we can't get a hold of God.
Right.
We should be able to get a hold of God just like they did back yonder.
Yeah.
Back there when they were riding through the country like that song says.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Children by us, I couldn't hardly read, yet I took heed. Right. Can't hardly read. Couldn't understand much.
Amen.
We be careful, fearful to move off of what was given to us by our parents.
Yeah.
Real careful.
Yeah.
And if you had a daddy like I had, he tried to tell me. But then when I came back at him with some things, you know, some things he just kind of let me know that, listen, if you don't see it, let somebody else see for you. Just let somebody else see for you.
Yeah.
And my answer, the only answer I could come up with to that was, well, all right, I guess I have to think about that. That's all I could come with. Maybe I better start letting him see for me. Since he's been saved 50 years, you know, that ought to count for something. We ought to be real careful about moving off of the things that God has given to us as the Church of God. Real careful. You make sure you're getting something better, something that's going to draw you closer to God, something that's going to help you get into heaven, something that's going to give you more power with God, increase your faith. Otherwise, don't you get off of what was given to you.
Yeah.
You be careful about that thing.
Amen.
Here in St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, we're going to go on now. 42nd verse. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Yes.
If you knew the burglar was going to come into your house at 12:15, you probably couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
in your temporal house.
Amen.
There are people that are well asleep, sound asleep spiritually, and the burglar is working his way right on in the door.
Yes.
Amen.
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 We ought to be watching.
Yes.
We ought to be praying.
Yes.
And if we can't see it, we ought to be praying and asking God, Lord, help me to see it.
Yes.
Help this thing to make sense to me.
Yes.
Because it took something to bring God's church where it is to you today.
Yes.
It took something.
Yes.
It didn't just fall down here. It wasn't some haphazard thing and just happened to be here and you just happened to be born and to the, with these parents and so forth, and so here you are. This ain't no happenstance thing.
Amen.
This thing is built on people's lives.
Yes.
People that got convictions from God, people that stayed and lived with their convictions, and then they did their very best to pass them right on down to you.
Yes.
They did their best. And maybe they couldn't explain the scriptures. And they couldn't explain maybe all of their beliefs. But we ought to be careful. Because the devil, here he is. When we're so self-assured that we know what's going on and that our perception and what we can see of the world around about us, we can perceive most all the spiritual dangers. And while we're doing that and so self-assured, the devil is working in the back door.
Amen.
Lord, help us.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to get ready to start studying the Word of God.
Yeah.
Looking for the devil.
Amen.
Looking for what he's trying to do.
Amen.
Getting ready for him. Making sure that whatever we come up with, that is something that adds to what our parents had. Spiritually, it falls right in line with it. And maybe adds a little bit more.
Yes.
In line. Don't take away a thing. Amen. Pray for us.
Yes.
Be ye also ready when you think he's not coming. That's the very time he may be coming. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. All right, let's go on. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, listen to this, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. An evil servant here, one that is taking it for granted that everything is continuing on and pretty well all under control and everything's going to work out for me pretty well. And while he's taking things for granted, it says here, my Lord delayeth his coming. That's dangerous. You don't know. You don't know if he's delaying his coming for you. It's quite possible that what seems so far off and so remote, you will face tonight. This is possible. It doesn't have to be in 10 years, 20 years. It could be tonight. You could die a violent death tonight. You could lay down on your bed and sleep without any pain and never see morning. And everybody just mystified. Brother, he was here last night. He was here, had no sign of anything wrong. I spoke to him, I talked to him, I shook his hand, looked him in the eye. Everything was all right, but he's gone today. You don't know when the master is coming. Be careful, act like it. Act like it, he may come tonight. Act like it. We don't begin to smite our fellow servants. We don't begin to take them for granted, misuse them, abuse them, ignore them, cast them down, speak evil of them. We don't do that. We don't know when our Lord is going to require us of our deeds. We don't know when we're going to be held to account for what we've done.
Amen.
We don't have time to mistreat one another.
Amen.
We don't have time. We ought to be fearful, careful.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Amen.
I think one person was told, walk softly before God.
Yeah.
Respect of persons is something that is strong in our society today.
Yeah.
I would also say that, you know what? It can be strong in us.
Yeah.
It can be strong in us.
Amen.
Right here inside these four walls.
Yeah.
Respect of persons.
Amen.
God doesn't like that.
Amen.
We're just people. That's all we are. Every one of us.
Amen.
Partiality. James, the first chapter. Excuse me, second chapter, first verse. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect of person to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and so forth. You know what that is. Respect of persons. But, ninth verse, if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Unjustness. People know sometimes they're doing things that are not just. It's not a surprise. It's not a surprise to them. You know, we don't want to be found before God with that kind of a thing on hand, do we?
No.
We don't want that. But each one of us walking carefully before the Lord, walk softly. Let's walk softly. When people begin to feel that they are in a position of advantage, it's only to be expected that they begin to carry themselves like that. They think it. And they begin to act it out.
Yeah,
I think I'm doing quite well. I'm knowledgeable. I've got some wisdom. I've got some experience. I'm well respected. And so therefore, you know, we can have a tendency to not give others a fair shake. Sometimes.
Amen.
We don't want to do that. We want to give everybody a fair shake. Every last one. So these people began to mistreat their fellow servants. They began to abuse them, smite them, speak evil of them, tear them down. Lord, help us. Can we see a warning here? Can we see a warning? Lord, we want to walk carefully before you.
Yes.
Watch out what we're doing. You wouldn't do it to so-and-so because you know you can't get away with it.
Yeah.
But I can do it to this one because I can get away with it.
Yeah.
Now, we don't think of it maybe in those terms. But what are the actions? What's being carried out? Lord, help us. Don't think we're getting away with anything.
Amen.
Because we are not. God sees everything that you and I are doing.
Amen.
He sees it all. And we ought to walk very carefully. Amen. Circumspectly. When we realize we're walking before God, do you not know that's something that restrains us in our behavior?
Yeah.
That makes us be careful. These people begin to eat and drink with the drunken. People that are drunk with, intoxicated with power, influence, pleasures of this life,
yeah,
having fun and all of that, you know. These people got in that kind of a sphere of influence, and so they begin to mistreat their fellow man. And we have a little rule that almost seems harmless to us. It doesn't present any threat to us when it says, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you.
Amen.
That just, no threat. No one backs up against that. You know, we ought to do it.
Yes.
You know, we ought to do it. Because when it comes time to stand before God, we'll wish we had done it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn here on down here in Matthew, the 25th chapter, in the first verse. I'm going to read about these virgins. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 10 virgins, that's us. Good fellas. Virgins, virtuous people.
Yeah.
People that were good, upstanding people in the community. People that were godly people in all appearances. People that it was obvious they were a Christian person. They were a saint.
Yes.
And it says here the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto these kind of people. Well, we would like for the kingdom of heaven to be of these kind of people. But it says it's likened to it. But he said 10 virgins, and he's making some distinctions here. Which took their lamps? Virgins which took their lamps. The lamp is a thing that gives light, isn't it? You know, you and I should have a light.
Represents the Word.
Yes. Light of God shining in our lives. We should have a light.
Amen.
And then it says, and then they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. That was a foolish man. They had the light, it was burning, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And then there were others that took oil in their lamps. They took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had a lamp that was burning. They had a vessel over here with oil in it. They had something to replenish it when it seemed like it needed replenishing, so that they could keep the thing going. Here we are, going about our lives, all good, virtuous people. We got a lamp that's burning here, and we're all going to meet the bridegroom. That's what we say.
Yeah.
We're going to heaven. We're going to meet Jesus. We're going to meet him one of these days. Isn't that what we say?
Yeah.
This thing, this verse here, these verses here say that there were some, all of them had lamps at the beginning that were burning. There were some that took oil, extra oil, to keep the thing going.
Yeah.
And then there were some that didn't. I don't know what possessed them to think that they could make it. They could get by. There are some of us today that think like that in our personality. We think we can get by. Somehow there's going to be made provision for me, and I don't have to make that provision. Somehow there's going to be given me an opportunity to just make it up on my shortcomings so I can get by with them. But at an hour when they were not expecting, when their light had gone out, and then the other fellows, in all of their struggles and their dedication and praying and fasting and living right before God, all they could muster was just enough oil for themselves. Oil of the Holy Spirit. That's what all of us need in our lives. Sanctification is not just talk. It isn't just saying, thank the Lord for being saved and sanctified.
Amen.
No, sir. Sanctification will show out when you get down in the trenches.
Yeah. Amen.
It'll show up. The man's got some. It'll show up over the years.
Yeah.
Make sure that you have it. Don't take it for granted you got it. Don't figure that somehow in the future I'll get it, or some provision is going to be made in the future. You have a kind, compassionate God right now. But one of these days, you're going to come to an end.
Yes.
And all of that that God has been to you, if you are one of these wise virgins, He'll continue to be that to you. But if you were one of these foolish virgins that you looked around and next thing you know, your lamp was gone out. He is not going to be your Savior. He is going to be the one that stops you right where you are. Right there. As the tree falls, so shall it lie. Right there. A foolish virgin. I thought that I could get it. I went through life like that. And many, many, many times things went well for me and worked out well for me. And I always expected somehow something would happen. And it did happen. But when it comes to the need of your soul, you don't leave this to somehow something's going to happen. You get busy working on this one.
Yeah.
Get that oil in your vessel.
Yeah.
Get that sanctification. Get that thing that enables you to walk right, talk right, act right when things are bad.
Yeah.
When you have reverse after reverse. Get something in your soul that enables you to be holy, righteous, in the midst of reverses. When things are dark, get something that'll carry you through. While the bridegroom tarried, all these folks, they slumbered and slept, it says. They went into a state, you might say, of dormancy, waiting for the Lord. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Get up and go. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. All of them did. Hey, mine's not burning. Charlie, I just need a little bit to get it going. Just give me a little bit. No, man, I'm just barely getting mine going. I'm just barely keeping mine going. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where's the ungodly and the sinner going to show up? Where are they going to be? All that you and I can do is just going to barely make it. I don't believe that any of us are going to go into heaven with great big margin to spare. Woo, I made it. I beat the devil by 500 miles. He ain't been close to me in 35 years. No, sir. You're going to get in there and the devil's on your heels.
Yeah.
If you get in.
Amen.
The wise answered, saying, "Not so, sorry. Because if I do that, then neither one of us may not have enough to make it in. But you, hurry up, go now to those that sell. Those that have this oil, you go and you get it, you buy it." One place said, "Come buy of me." What did he say in Isaiah 58? Come buy. Yeah. Come buy. Get it from me. Get it from God. I think it is. Come buy this wine and milk without money and without price. We have something, we have access to something that is priceless.
Yeah.
Totally priceless. You couldn't put a price on it.
That's right.
We have an opportunity to get it. We get it by dedicating our lives to God. We get it by giving up ourselves.
Yeah.
We get it by giving it all that we have got.
Yeah.
Now, take warning tonight. I believe that God has been faithful to us. Take warning. Things are not as they appear many times.
Amen.
You may think it's going well, but the devil is out there. And you may think, well, I've got it made and I'm going on into heaven. But listen, the devil is after you.
Amen.
You cannot leave anything to chance.
Amen.
You can't just say, well, somehow, some way or other, I'll make it up. One of these days, I'll measure up on this line or that line. One of these days, I'll start obeying God. You know, what you measure up, obeying God. Why don't you just say it like that? We use this word measure up. You know, really, it's like obeying God. You're not obeying brother that one over there and sister this one over here. They don't have heaven to take you to. You better get busy obeying Almighty God.
Yeah.
And I can assure you that He is a whole lot more powerful than this person and that person.
Amen.
He ought to be feared more than those people, any man that walks the face of this earth. God has such power, it's beyond your imagination. You can't imagine what kind of power He has. Get ready to meet Him. Be ready to meet Him. We can't take anything for granted. Let's not take anything for granted.
Amen.
And let's be careful about where we head spiritually. And kind of like take it for granted somehow things are going to work out. Let's be careful about that.
Amen.
You may think it's going to work out fine, but you don't want to get 30 years down the road and find out that somehow you missed the mark. But you want to know for sure. Many times people make mistakes in their youth and go way down the road. And way down there they've made some mistakes in their youth. They've gone away from God. They've gone after things of their own vision, their own understanding, gotten involved in things in life, and way down the road they realize that somewhere I must have made a mistake. Somewhere I made a mistake.
Yes. Oh.
Entering into things without realizing the consequences. Marriages. Oh. Activities. Getting involved doing anything that God is not in. God just simply ain't in it at all. And doesn't want you involved in it.
Amen.
And they get involved in it and then get wrapped up in it. And time goes by. And their senses are so dulled You can try to talk to them about the Lord and salvation or sanctification, and it's as if the concept has escaped them. It's just the same people that could have an MBA and run a big company.
Yeah.
Same people, intelligent people. But spiritually, their eyes are just shut, just darkened, unable to see. So, I want to give us a warning tonight. I felt the Lord wanted me to do that. So I've done it. Be careful. You're going to meet God in eternity. And He's not a man. He is not a man. And all the things that He's told you here in this time world, the things that He's told you to do, and you've kind of put it off and said, I won't do it, or I'm going to think about it, and whatever. I can get by. You're going to face Him one of these days with it. And in the end, you'll find that you don't get by with anything with God. No such thing as getting by. So let's be warned. And let's redouble our efforts in living to please God in this life. You pray for me.